Oh man.
Okay. Well, you ready?
Yeah.
Do this.
Hi guys, welcome back.
Hey everyone, welcome back.
As usual, we got some good stuff for you today.
We do got some good things. We got some good, oh wait, we have some good things, and we have some like really sad things, and then we have some like really weird things to how we don't know how to interpret, but like overall we got some juicy stuff.
Yeah, we got stuff.
We got stuff.
And hopefully everyone has caught up on Kingdom, because this is temporary a Kingdom podcast.
It literally has transformed from like we talk about like just drama and stuff to like we will only give Kingdom recaps and our opinions and thoughts every episode.
Yeah. Even earlier preparing for this episode, I was going over last week's performances, just kind of refreshing my brain, and I was like, oh my gosh, today's Thursday. Like, it kind of just hit me. Like, there's a new episode out. This week has gone by so fast. And I'm like, yay!
Literally, ever since I started watching the show, which I don't know if maybe because I never watched a drama, like, while it was still on. Like, really? I feel like my week has, like, goes by so fast. Because then before I know it, it's another Kingdom episode. And I'm like, oh my god, that means my week's over.
Gives you something to look forward to.
It does.
No, one time I watched a drama, it was Jin Young's drama, the one.
Oh,
I watched that one on a weekly basis as it was being released.
Mm-hmm.
Like at first, I didn't really like it, but I got into the rhythm of it. It was really nice. Like it gave me something to look forward to. And then when it was over, it was kind of like, like there's nothing to look forward to anymore because the dramas you could just like binge however much you want.
Yeah.
So I,
your whole life went to shit, and you just moved out, and you just.
I had structure, and then it was gone. So Kingdom.
All right, let me get in a better position.
Okay, before this episode, I just have to say, I loved all performances, but I've always been able to be like, okay, this was my favorite performance. But with this last episode, it's hard. It's really hard to choose. And I am stuck. I love Icon and I love what they did, but I am stuck between ATEEZ and B2B.
B2B's, I like how they pulled inspiration from Mamamoo's performance.
Yeah.
But like, that was very, it's so interesting with them because everyone keeps saying like, how are they gonna like compete with these, you know, futuristic type, like otherworldly type concepts mm-hmm. that, you know, Stray Kids and ATEEZ and the boys are like known for doing, because right. they're a very realistic group. Like they fucking sing about heartbreak and falling in love and like all this shit. They don't sing about like being pirates and like, you know. And so, but people keep saying like, how are they gonna compete? How are they gonna compete? But it's like they bring the same mm-hmm. like energy, but they like somehow make it to where it's just like realistic. Like it's realistic. Like there's that fucking giant Kraken arm like swinging through their set. No hate to ATEEZ. I fucking love ATEEZ so much. I'm just saying.
Everyone's thing.
And it's like, they keep wowing me. Like, I'm like, mm-hmm. I keep thinking every beginning, every episode, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so nervous for them. Like, what are they going to do? And then they do some shit. I'm like, that makes fucking sense. That's yeah, right.
Exactly. That's
correct.
Like, I don't know how, like, the criteria for the judging, but I hope they're getting, like, creative points for this.
Yeah.
They're constantly being creative. Like, they can dance, but they're not dancers.
Mm-hmm.
There's like four of them, right? Like they have to pull shit together to like have this big performance compared to like the other groups who are doing like flips and shit in the air.
Yeah.
But they do it, and like especially with this last one, they looked so cool.
Oh, they looked sexy. I could not.
Right? I was like, oh,
like, and I didn't even feel bad. I didn't even feel bad thinking that they're sexy. So like they're all older than me. I don't even care. I guess. Perfectly fine.
No stopping. No, it It was really good.
That was really good.
And I liked, they made this like their totally own. And plus, I love that they made it a rock song versus doing a darker theme.
Mm-hmm. I also liked how they twisted the concept of the song, whereas Stray Kids' concept is more only friends are allowed in our inner circle, you know, authorized personnel in the back door. So only our fans and our friends, we let them in our lives and blah, blah, blah. Whereas BTV is women, sex. We're grown ass men. We're going to sing about it.
I will say, I don't hate that what's his face ripped his tank top off. It was a nice touch, but I think if I was one of the judges, I probably would have rolled my eyes. You know what I mean? As a fan, I'm thank you. Yeah. But as a judge, I would have been really? You think your body's going to get points? Come on.
But then I would be circling the highest number of points.
I'd be like, oh, damn it. Now I have to go in points.
I really liked BTBs. We mentioned it last time, we talked about the boys and the first section of dances was okay. I don't know, it wasn't my favorite, but I actually really was impressed with Stray Kids because I know they have vocalist, and I think that they did they were very brave. I mean, they took on literally such a challenging song. Even BTV themselves were like, this is a hard song to free, it's our song and we don't even fucking want to sing it, it's hard. But I think that they in a similar way that B2B changed their concept to fit them, I think they did a really good job at changing the meaning of the song to fit Stray Kids. And Stray Kids are kind of that angsty teen type vibe, you know? And I think they did a really good job with the whole like I'll be your man, I'll sacrifice myself to get you back. And obviously it's Stray Kids, so they had to sacrifice themselves to the Satan to it's just, I don't know, but
really far.
I think I really did like Stray Kids' performance. I think they did a good job at really making it their own vibe, their own song. And also the reason why Han is my favorite, he's my bias, because he's just good at things, all of the stuff. I'm who's letting him sing right now? Why is he singing and then rapping?
I know. Cause it got to a point where I was okay, where are the other members? Cause I'm not mad about it, but it's he's doing it all. I will say, okay, I wasn't my favorite performance, but that's just because it wasn't really to my taste. Mm-hmm. But I can appreciate that it definitely was in a Stray Kids style and it totally fit them. And so it was good for what it was. But Stray Kids doesn't always sit with me.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? So it's I appreciate them, what they can do, but I'm kind of whatever. But
yeah.
It was still really good, what they did do. I mean, Felix being dragged by his feet while...
Oh, God. And then when he was all I hear your cries or some shit that, and he whispered it, I was wait. Who's crying? My cries? You hear my cries at night, Felix?
I wonder if his parents watch that and they go, that's my son?
His mom's I refuse. I did not give birth to that.
Well, even, don't hate me, I cannot think of his name. It's Changman or something. He's one of the rappers.
Oh, uh-huh.
His rapping, I was excuse me.
See, he always makes me laugh because the song will be so kind of upbeat or whatever, and he's and by no means am I shitting on him. I freaking love him. He's always coming for my neck. But I his tone is always almost rap rock.
Yeah, he's just really intense and I like it.
Yeah, I'm here for him. I'm here for the intensity, but it's a love song and he's just okay, all right, yeah, I love you,
bring it, bring the fire. But I did really enjoy A-Teez's, their whole concept. And I'm not okay, I do want to say one thing, and this is something I keep forgetting to mention in these episodes. can we stop doing the like point of view kind of storylines in these performances? You know, where it's like the camera and you see like a hand come out.
Oh yeah.
Stop. Like somebody did it once and that was cool. That was a cool twist. But like everyone stop doing it. I hate it. It makes me cringe. I don't know. I just don't like
it.
I liked AT's performance.
I think it was the boys.
Yeah. But I mean, AT's in that van, and they all put like their mask on.
Was so sad. I was like, oh shit, hold on. Like, that's probably like the Purge.
Yeah, definitely Purge vibes. Which I think AT should like do something more Purge vibes, which that may like get some questions. They're running around killing people, but.
K-pop defense murders.
As an American fan, I'd be here for it.
Oh, ranking. The ranking.
Oh, right.
With the boys being sixth place?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with it. Like, I was not crazy about their performance.
I wasn't either. And I think even though like I am now a fan, like I've definitely have like investigated them enough to be like, okay, I'm a fan, you know, I listened to some albums. I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. Okay. I don't think it was one of my favorite performances from them. And I don't think this is gonna sound bad. I don't think they need to be humbled because they're not arrogant at all anyways. Or I didn't get that vibe at all. But I think this might be good for them to be like, oh shit, okay. Like kind of like, just because you won doesn't mean you're going to win again. It's a whole new competition, whole new people. And so, because, you know, when you win something and you go into something similar, you kind of have that vibe of like, okay, we could do it. Like, we could do it again. And you might get a little comfortable. You might get a little, let something slide. I'm not saying that they're just like, you know, not doing anything, not working hard, but you know, you have people like ATs who literally are known to fucking just go off and be like, you have Santiago in the front over there. So I think this was good for them to kind of like, sometimes you need to lose a little bit to be like,
it's a reality check.
Mm-hmm.
You are not at the top. And that's okay, but you just have competition.
Yeah. And if this means we're going to get a better performance out of them, then put them in the bottom because they do. I would say because they are from a lower company and they don't, like, they don't have the money that YG provides for, you know, Icon or, you know, they're from a very poor company. They can produce some fucking crazy ass stages and performances. And so if this is gonna make them, because the past few I'm like, what the fuck is this? What is this mediocre shit? As if I could do any of that. But if this is gonna make them be like, oh shit, okay, we gotta get back, then like, hell yeah, put them in the bottom every time then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Selfishly I want to say that. I know it probably hurts their feelings, but
well, that leads into something I wanted to mention about Kingdom. And this is something that I came across on TikTok. And of course, with all things K-pop, there's going to be controversy when you have groups from different companies, right? And they are not innocent to it all. So there's this whole thing. Well, there's multiple things. Let's start off with one about budget. Apparently, there's this whole thing. I didn't even think about it. Like the budget that these like groups are given, I kind of just figured it was like, I just assumed that like Mnet would provide whatever props and I don't know, whatever resources the groups needed. Like I just didn't think that the companies would have to do the budget, like provide it for them, which it makes more sense that way because Mnet's not, you know, they don't want to shell out thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But apparently there's this whole thing about Mnet changed the budget. Maybe like Mnet is like paying for it all, but they gave each group like, this is like your budget, like you can't go over this. But they changed the budget, but they didn't tell all the groups. Like apparently they only told three groups. And then I think they're saying ATs is like the only group that like technically went over budget, but they like reused old props. And so there's like a whole thing with that, that fans are kind of like a little annoyed about, which I get it. Cause you know, doesn't always provide like a fair competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it really shouldn't be about the props when it comes to budget in the end, it is more about the performance.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that I was seeing, this girl, she was talking about the structure of the show. And it kind of made sense. She was talking about like the competitions that she felt like they need, like the challenges needed to be more, I guess, specific. So she was like, instead of just being like, pick a song and do whatever you want with it, she's like, have like a theme to it. So it's like all the groups do a noir theme.
Yeah.
All the groups take like a song and they have to switch it to another, you know, like that kind of thing. Like make it more like an even playing field. And I was like, that made a lot of sense because she was questioning about why some of these groups are even competing against each other. And I think we've talked about it, but like, it's kind of strange with like the boys and ATs, and then you have B2B and Icon, you know, like it just, at first you're kind of like, this doesn't make sense. And people were saying, I don't know how true this is. So what fans are saying is Mnet was blackmailing these groups saying that if you don't do the competition, we're not going to play any of your stuff on Mnet. So I'm like, okay.
Right, the power there.
Right? So I don't know if it's true. I don't know. That's just what people are saying. And I don't know how these people are finding this stuff out. So
honestly, though, I wouldn't put it past.
No, me neither. Because like, these certain groups are basically what are getting ratings. It's what got me into the show.
Mm-hmm.
If it was like the boys and like Onis and like a bunch of these like smaller, newer groups,
yeah,
I wouldn't have like watched it, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
But because it's Icon, B2B, ATs, like, oh, I'm channeling in.
I have some other Icon news.
Oh, let's hear it.
So, like, this, when I read this, I was so freaking excited. Because our favorite leader is back. Yay! B.I., former Icon member, which is still so fucking stupid, I can't even fathom. His own label has released a statement saying that he is coming back. He is making a full, he has a full album coming out on May 31st and his singles coming out on May 14th, I believe. Let me check those dates. Yeah. So May 14th, his single, and then May 31st, his full album. I'm like super excited. I'm so, because I just have a feeling that like there's gonna be something in there that talks about this whole ordeal. Like there's no way he's gonna drop a full album and like have zero say in like any of the shit that just happened to him.
Because now that he's not under YG, he can literally do and say whatever the fuck he wants.
Rip them apart. Just kidding. I'm sure there's probably like some type of contract or something that's like hidden in their contracts. Like if you ever leave YG, you can never ever 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 say our names ever again.
They would do something weird like that. Yay!
Oh, but also comebacks.
I'm gonna order his album. Maybe.
I am too. There's a lot of comebacks this like coming up, and like comebacks of like actual like. Okay, that sounds bad. Comebacks of bigger names.
Mm-hmm.
More established, there you go. More established groups.
May usually has some pretty good comebacks.
Yeah, because like right before summer, like people want to post like their spring comeback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That summer bop going.
Mm-hmm. Aespa is coming. It has a comeback.
Has a comeback.
And I really hope that this is like just a fucking punch in the throat. Like it doesn't have to be like an aggressive song, but I'm just saying like I want it to like come and then everyone be like, oh shit, okay, that's all right. That's what we wanted from SM girl group type thing, you know?
Yeah, because we've been rooting for them.
I really am. I really want them to be. I think SM, it's time for a newer girl group, and I think they have a really cool concept that they could mm-hmm. really like develop in the future.
Yeah.
And I want them to succeed. I really do.
Me too. Because if they don't, then they'll be forgotten about, and those girls like won't have any work.
Yeah.
Locked up and forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to throw anyone away like that.
Before we jump into SM and the questionable things that they do in that company.
Oh my God.
I need to ask for your opinion on a comeback that had just recently happened.
Okay.
Okay. So ITZY had their comeback with Mafia in the Morning. And it's actually doing really well. It won for Countdown, that show, the music show.
Countdown or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It took its first win. So like it's a good song.
Yeah.
And it was going against Stacey's ASAP, which I think I talked about in the last episode. I talked about Stacey and how they're like doing really well from like a smaller group, High Up Entertainment. Yeah. And those were the two that were competing, and then ITZY like won for that, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen such division in opinions when it comes to a song. Like, usually there's songs and you see like there's a few people like, oh yeah, it's just not my thing, whatever. But I've seen extremes. I haven't seen like a lukewarm, like, oh yeah, you know, it's okay. I've seen like, I love it, I absolutely love the song, it's a bop, it's yes, yes, yes. And I've seen like, I fucking hate the song, it's terrible, JYP sucks, everything's bad, all shit. And I'm like, what? So I need you to, have you listened to it?
No.
Have you watched? Okay, I need you to watch it.
Okay.
We're going to do a little commercial break, everyone. Katie's going to watch this, and then she's going to come back and tell us her thoughts.
Okay.
Please enjoy this commercial tune. Beep.
Wow. How do people hate that? Dude, that is so good.
I don't understand.
This is like competition with Blackpink. Like, that's how much they go off.
It like, I've okay, so ITZY does have some songs that I'm just like, eh, like Not Shy, I wasn't like a huge fan of. I still like, you know, sometimes I'm like, Not Shy, you know, but like, but like, I think some of, if you look at the lyrics, I feel like some of the rap is kind of like girl idol rap, you know, kind of that stereotype.
Yeah.
But like, if you don't, I don't know Korean, so to me, it just sounds like a bunch of cool shit. And I liked it. When I first listened to it, I was like, oh no, like, what are they going to do? Like, what is this? And then I was like, what the fuck? Why are people so pressed about this? I don't not understand.
Well, and it's so like fresh and new.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes girl groups will come out with songs and you're like, okay, it's good. But it's like, there's like 10 other songs like this.
Exactly. Yes.
Good. And like the dance moves are like on point with like the theme of the song and video.
And it's so weird because like with Blackpink, I love Blackpink, but with Blackpink, I feel like they try to make their moves like very sexy or like have like a sensual, you know, because like they're always on the floor, they always do like a roll and a booty and like a, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so sometimes when I watch their performances, I'm like, okay, like ITZY does this thing where it's like they'll do like more like mature moves, mm-hmm. but it just looks cool.
Yeah, cool. They definitely like just look cool.
They just look cool.
Especially from the very beginning, like since their debut, they've always just been like a really cool group.
Yeah. They've danced their asses off. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They fucking, I don't even know. Like, I don't know if when Twice debuted and then like JYP was like, okay, I'm not going to do another cutesy girl group. Like, let's just leave that to Twice. Now let's just do like a, like another girl group, but like they have to do 10 times hard choreography than what we give Twice. Come on now. Like that compared to likey, me, like, come on.
That's what we're wanting. Like, we're wanting a girl group to like dance like really hard.
And they do. They grow down.
Big hit. That's what we're wanting. And so far, Cersei's doing it.
they really are.
I'm going to add adding that to my playlist. Like, that's amazing.
I'm so glad you like it. Because if you didn't like it, I would just be like, okay, yeah, it's not everyone's taste. I'm
glad to know that you. I was worried I was going to hate it. I was really worried. I was going to be like, oh, it's not my thing.
Yeah. You're like, oh, Candace, I don't have to taste. The song sucks.
Mm-hmm. It's shit.
Yeah. Speaking of shit.
Every time we're gonna shit on SM, and every time we're gonna shit on JYP, like their own sound,
like its own little like jingle.
Yeah, so people know.
What the fuck is SM doing? I just honestly, like, I would love to just be in like a board meeting so when I can just hear their ideas and be like, what? What are you doing?
Let me read to everybody the caption on the SM Instagram post, right?
Okay.
Look at this picture. Look at these losers. Okay. Literally says two entertainment pioneers. Okay, well, I've never heard of the white guy, are teaming up to find the next K-pop star in America. Chairman Mark Burnett, creator of The Voice and Survivor, and founder and head producer Suman Lee of SM, the father of the Korean wave, announced today that a new competition show is in the works. What? What?
So for those who don't know, SM is coming to America. Our favorite boy group NCT is gonna get bigger.
Oh my god, I am dying at the TikToks.
Oh, the TikToks have been so funny.
They're so funny.
But I did.
Oh, why is he?
I did want to read like the report that came out.
Let's hear it.
So this is what the report that came out. In the latest business deal to underscore the globalization of K-pop, MGM Worldwide Television Group is partnering with Korea's SM Entertainment to develop a competition series to scout young American men to form a U.S.-based K-pop group. To be more precise, the new boy group, NCT Hollywood,
no,
would be the latest subunit of SM's hit concept group, NCT, a growing collective of members currently numbering 23 who can be combined into various subunits, NCT 127, Seoul-based, NCT Dream, originally a teen-only group, and Wavy, China-based. The talent search will open to America's most talented emerging artists, who are males aged 13 to 25. Contestants will be flown to Seoul for K-pop boot camp training at the SM campus, where each episode they will compete in dance, vocal, and style tests, and will be judged and mentored by SM founder, as well as various current NCT members.
Taeyong and Mark.
That's it. And Johnny for population. I mean, popularity.
They're gonna use Johnny as the translator.
What the fuck is this? I cannot even get over this right now.
Okay, first of all, it's not a K-pop group if it's not in Korea. You cannot be NCT Hollywood and call it a K-pop group. Like, it's not how it works. No. Is Mark going to be in that too?
People are saying like, watch Mark about to debut in NCT Hollywood. He's not even American.
He's like, I'm Canadian. Assumingly, like, what's the difference?
He's like, it's honestly the same. It's the same thing.
The only thing I'm interested in the whole thing, and obviously I'll watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm most interested in like the styling competition of it.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta figure out their style. I'm curious.
Yeah, like what, like your outfit sucks. Minus 10 points.
Is it going to be like America's Next Top Model where they come in and he picks hairstyles for them all? I have a fear that during this competition, they'll get some poor young man who happens to be actually Chinese and not Korean. And they'll go, you're amazing and super talented. And he'll be super popular throughout the whole show. And they'll go, we're going to throw you into Wavy instead.
And he's like, no, what the fuck? I don't even speak Chinese.
Literally not. And you're taking me back.
But see, like, here's the thing. Are they targeting, like, Korean Americans to keep the integrity of, like, the K-pop? Or it's just, like, any American? Because it sounds like it's just any American.
That's true. They didn't specify that they had to be Asian.
Which then at that point, it's like, why doesn't SM, instead of making it part of NCT, which is an existing Korean pop group, just say like SM's branching out into boy bands and like they're making their US boy band debut, and then just like create, then at that point you like skip all of the like criticism, because it's like, oh, we're not trying to make these boys into K-pop groups, we're just making a boy group. Like, we want our company represented in America in whatever fashion, and that fashion is supposed to be American. But, like, to say that you're making, like, a K-pop group with Americans, it's like, then it's not K-pop. Are they going to sing in Korean? Because then it's not, it's just pop. It's just a pop group.
Is it going to be in English or Korean? That's what I'm curious about. Well, and, like, that would make the most sense. But I think they just want to ride this, like, Korean wave that's hitting the U.S.
Yeah, that he's the father of.
Like, this guy who, like, created The Voice, he probably heard of BTS for the first time when Dynamite came out.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
And, like, now he's like, okay, I'm on board with this because it's super popular. It's like, dude, it's been here. You don't care.
It's going to make me lots of money.
Exactly. It's going to be a shit show. Like, I have no expectations that it's not going to be a shit show. And I'm really curious what, like, NCT thinks about this.
I just feel like, I feel bad for NCT too, because, like, at some point, me and you, coming from a sorority where we have multiple people that we identify with, at some point things get too big and then the connections don't become genuine anymore. And so, like, I feel like with NCT, the more they keep growing, the more we're just going to see only the units hanging out with the units. And then it's going to be like, okay, but, like, you guys aren't really NCT then. You guys are just kind of, like, a bunch of, like, smaller groups. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just feel like we're going to lose the actual, like, and they already said themselves, like, there's members that don't ever hang out with each other because it's just, there's 23 of them. Mm-hmm. So, like, obviously, Wavy's going to hang out more with Wavy, and Dream's going to hang out with Dream. And, like, the members that are in different ones, you know, like, Haechan and Mark, yeah, they're going to hang out with 127 and Dream because they're in both. But, like, and Super M and everything else Mark's in. But I feel like the more they keep adding, the more it's going to be, like, less authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Because it already feels kind of not super authentic now, like, when they're all together. Because I'm like, I know not all of you even, like, really like each other.
Well, the whole interchangeable unit thing, like, it was a cool idea. And I think it worked in the beginning when they were smaller and they were actually, like, changing around a lot. But now I feel like because they're so established, it just doesn't work anymore. Kind of like with NCT Dream, like, originally it was supposed to be a group that got, like, aged out, like, you aged out of it, but now they don't do that anymore because it's already, like, such an established group and people don't want to see them age out of it. They want to see that
people, like, cried when Mark was gone. Like, what the fuck? No, absolutely not.
So it's like, it was a cool idea, but it doesn't work.
Yeah,
I think he needs to, like, let it go about adding all these members.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe focus on your fucking girl group.
He's like, I have an existing girl group here, but I could also branch out, go to America, start a whole new reality show, find a whole new set of boys, debut them, and make them famous. Yeah, I'll do that.
Exactly. Aspa's like, oh, we're not having to come back again? Okay.
Poor babies.
10 hours for nothing.
Yeah, it's just like, why did we debut then? What's the point?
What a mess. I really can't not tell who's more of a mess, SM or JYP.
They're both just hot messes.
Because I feel like JYP would be like against it, but I feel like he would do something just as stupid.
Well, and YG, got to throw him in there because their new CEO was all like founded doing all that illegal shit. I forgot. I don't know the details exactly. But I'm like, damn it. Like, we were rooting for her.
Where are we?
You're right.
Speaking of health things, there was something that interesting that happened, right, on Instagram that you saw?
Yes. Yes. And before I talk about this, I do want to do a disclaimer and like a trigger warning. This does deal with self-harm and like suicide. So that I just want to give you guys, like, if this is where you end the episode, then great, like, we'll see you next week. So I just want to do that for you guys, but if you guys stay, okay, you stay. So AOA's Mina posted on her Instagram a little bit, like, last week or earlier this week. I think it was last week. She posted a picture. It was a very graphic picture of her hand, and it was super bloody, and she had, like, you can see her self-harm scars on her wrist. Not scars, like, her open wounds, and there's blood all over the floor. So one would be led to believe that she had self-harmed and was basically showing the aftermath of her episode. And right. So she posted it. She deleted it, obviously, because, like, I was surprised that she even posted it to begin with. But it was in response to the ongoing issues that she's been having since leaving AOA with the whole, like, Jimin bullying controversy that happened, like, I think, like, a long time ago. Or not a long time ago, but, like, a year or so ago, when it came out that Jimin, the leader, was, like, really bullying her, like, super hard. Like, body shaming her and just, like, being a fucking bitch, basically.
Yeah.
And so, it was a response to that. And it honestly made me very, I'm not a fan. I don't even really know what, like, AOA's fandom name is. Like, I'm not, like, I make fun of Bingo Bingo, like, on a daily basis. Not because I do like the song, I just don't like Jimin's part, which, I mean, come on. But I was concerned. I was like, I really hope someone is checking in on her, because that's some concerning shit. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Especially to post it. Like, that's a cry out for help.
It really is. And so she I'm going to read to you some captions and some things that she had said about the issue.
Okay.
So I think it really does give good insight, because I know we like to talk about the fun side of K-pop and, like, the more, like, oh, comebacks and debuts and, like, opinions and stuff. Like, there is a very dark side to the industry that I think kind of just gets overlooked by the pretty side. Mm-hmm. And so I think listening to her stuff, and I'm going to read it, it really does kind of give insights, like, oh, shit, okay. So this is the caption that was on the photo that she posted. So she said, and this was Mina. So she said, why? This is dirty? ? Does this disgust you? Every word you say makes me feel like this. Oh, suicide show? You guys say I'm doing this to get sympathy. Then why don't you give it? Go to a psychologist. Jesus Christ. I've seen them for years. Do you know why I went crazy? Have you all been in my position? You don't know anything about me, but you keep stepping on me and tearing me up every day. I tried my best and lived like a fool. So that was the post on the picture of her self-harm. And then she wrote a different post saying, I know it's a lot. You say it's enough. You're sick and tired of this. You're starting to think Shin Jimin, which is the leader, is the victim now. I know very well that the more I do this, the more people will criticize me and look at me negatively, but I'm not crazy. I used to be a bright person who loves to laugh a lot. In fact, my evaluations only diagnosed me as severely depressed. It doesn't say I'm bipolar or schizophrenic. I have social anxiety, social phobia, panic disorder, panic seizures, and depression. And so then she added, that like she was the breadwinner for her family since she was really young. She had to quit school so that she could earn money for her family. And she did like a lot of part-time jobs. And then she talked about Jimin, like the bullying and the distress that she went since she was 17 until 27. So from age 17 to 27, that's 10 years of someone's life.
Yeah.
And so she said, as I grew into my adulthood through my early to mid 20s, I believe that I tried my best and worked harder than anyone else. If I gave her reason to hate me, if I gave her no reason to hate me, then Yuni will love to like me too. Looking back now, I don't understand why I decided to endure it all, pushing myself to accept and even getting myself on medication. I was a fool. So that was her basic thing. Like, I don't know. Like, I just kind of was like, oh, if I just do really good, then she can't bully me.
Right.
So then she reveals that she tried to take her life twice by sleeping pills. And she regrets not collecting like evidence, such as like medical records and psychiatric visits. Mm-hmm. And then she said that, while like her fellow AOA members may remember what she went through, no one spoke up for her except for one unnamed. She didn't name one, but she said one who was bullied like her was kind of like someone who stuck up for her. Mm-hmm. And so then she goes on to say that she never received a sincere apology from Jimin. She said, I never received a sincere apology. Jimin may have said the words, I'm sorry, but she also said she doesn't remember anything. She forced the apology out of her mouth and left my house looking completely agitated. I don't know. I didn't even know why she came, if she was going to act like that. As soon as she got to my house, she became all worked up and even started looking for a knife. I had no idea the male team member and other managers would come too. I was in my night slip when I sat down to talk to them. So it almost sounds like it was like a, not like an ambush, but like... Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then she posted, and so then the people are like, well, why were you posting pictures of like your wrist, you know?
Yeah.
And so she said that even though Jimin left the entertainment industry because of all the bullying allegations, that she still has nightmares about Jimin and like wanting to hurt herself. So she wrote, why did I upload the picture of my bloody wrist? I wanted her friends to see. Maybe they'll let her know. I've been trying to get in touch with her, but she won't answer me. I don't know if she changed her number or what. So her reasoning was like, I want Jimin to see this. Like, I want her to see like what her actions have led me to do. And then she concluded the post by saying, I do it because I think this is all so unfair, yet there's no way for me to resolve it. It's been so long since I stopped having motivation for anything. I cry over nothing and everything. To live like this, to see myself live like this, sometimes I feel like it might be better that I stop living. To be honest, I'm not so scared anymore. And that was the end of her post.
Wow. I think out of all of this, it does make me wonder about the rest of the members and why... I mean, she's even claiming they're not saying anything, right? Like, it's one thing for them not to, like, say anything publicly, but they obviously saw things going on. Do they just, like, are they afraid to say anything?
But also, like, you would think that, or what they portray K-pop idol groups is that, like, this is my, I see these people more than my family. This is my family. This is, like, my brothers. This is my sisters. I love them. We're in love with each other. Blah, blah, blah. And, like, you would think that even if during the time, like, maybe they did turn a blind eye to, like, bullying, if you see someone who, like, you portray to be, like, a sister and you've been together for 10-plus years, like, you would think that there would be some type of, like, outspoken, like, I don't want to... Like, she needs us, or she needs something. And I think if that would have happened, then maybe, like, not saying this could have been avoided, because it might not have. But I'm just saying, like, if she's feeling like everyone was just kind of like, oh, we don't know what's going on, except for one other member who was getting bullied as well, mm-hmm. then, like, you can't fully, like, I don't know. I just feel like you can't sit here and, like, portray it to be this happy family and be like, oh my god, like, these are my sisters. And then when one of them posts some shit like that, it's just like silence.
Yeah, not a single word from any of them.
And to be fair, like, maybe they're doing things behind it. Like, maybe she did post that and then they called her, like, girl, hold up, like, what, like, you know, we don't know, I don't know her, you know. But I just feel like for it to get to that point, like, they must have not have been communicating anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, she must have felt like that was, like, the last, you know, straw for her.
Option. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just posting it in Instagram. That's hard.
Yeah. That's pretty, like, it really makes me, like, it's scary because, you know, all life is precious, and we wouldn't want for someone to feel like they just, you know,
only have to
leave. Yeah. But it really is eye-opening to the idea of, like, yeah, like, K-pop is great and idols are great and, like, we love the camaraderie and we love the brotherhood and the sisterhood or whatever, but there's a lot that we don't know about that goes on behind closed doors. And, like, we could talk about GOT7 and we could talk about, like, NCT and all these things, but, like, we don't know what happens, like, when the cameras are off and they're just in their dorms and, like, they could fucking all hate each other. I mean, I don't really think GOT7 hates each other. Like, to be completely honest, I think they actually do really love each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
You can tell the sincerity. Well, and one of the things that makes K-pop so great is that they're pushed so hard to such greatness. But, like, with that pushing comes consequences, mm-hmm. and comes negative outcomes. And this is a very clear, obvious one. Like, this has happened already, like, with past members. And we're continuing to see it with K-pop members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it has to stop. Like, they're humans.
Yeah. It's the expectations are getting, like,
it's too much.
Higher and higher and higher and higher. And it's like, at some point, it's not achievable by a human being. Like, you fucking have AIs now.
Yeah. Like, they're literally like, fuck it. We'll do it ourselves. Yeah.
But yeah. Well, that ended on a sad note.
I don't know.
Well, it's just a more serious note, but it is, I think, important for.
It is. And it's a good reminder for everybody who enjoys K-pop. I mean, enjoy it, but don't forget they're humans.
Yeah, these are people with, like, feelings and emotions. And
yes. So if you're unable to wait and you go and watch Kingdom without the subtitles, let us know in our comments, or, you know, DM us on Instagram what you're thinking. And if you wait till tomorrow like us, still hit us up.
Yeah. Let us know your thoughts. We want to be your friend.
It's kind of nice on a Friday, because then I can just be like, oh, my weekend started, right?
Yes.
But if you're wondering where you can let us know and you haven't found us yet on Instagram, we are at The Stands Next Door on Instagram. And there you'll find all kinds of lovely K-pop stuff. We have, like, comebacks of the week. We have disrespects of the week. We'll post our Spotify playlist, or, you know, maybe an album or an artist that we're jamming out to that week. You can find all that wonderful stuff there. So make sure to follow us and share us with your friends. And we are under a studio, which is ran by yours truly, us. It's Daydream Media Studio, and we're also on Instagram at Daydream Media Studio. And we also have a beautiful website, which is daydreammediastudio.squarespace.com. And there you'll find the Stands page on that site with more K-pop things, all our episodes. And if you want to explore a little bit, see what else we're about, we have our sister podcast on there. There's a little bit, everything's a little different, a little bit for everybody. And make sure, if you are listening to us on Spotify, hit that follow button. Same thing with Apple Podcasts, and make sure to leave us 5-star review. We want to know what you're thinking, and it really helps us out. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.